This is the King Chasing Podcast. Here's your host, Richard Martin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the newest episode of the King Chasing Podcast. I am your host, Richard Martin, and glad you could join us. No, it's been a while since our last episode. We are busy crowning champions and celebrating our Lord Jesus Christ with King Chasing and Ring Chasing here at the NCCAA. Before we begin the podcast, make sure to tune the past episodes of the King Chasing Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and the NCCAA.org/podcast. My guest today is head men's basketball coach at Lancaster Bible College, John Mack. Mack is no stranger to the NCCAA, as he was a player for the University of Valley Forge from 1996 to 2000, earning NCCAA All-Region honors and finishing his career as the school's leader in points, points per game, and second all-time in rebounds. John Mack stayed with the Patriots for 17 years, coaching the men's basketball team, and served as athletic director for 13 years, earning 11 trips to the NCCAA Division II Men's Basketball National Championship during his time. Coach Mack then went to Southwestern Christian University, guiding the Eagles to the NCCAA D1 Men's Basketball National Championship game in 2018, before arriving at Lancaster Bible College. This past winter, John Mack helped lead the Chargers to the 2026 NCCAA D1 Men's Basketball National Championship, earning the Chargers' first ever Division I championship in any sport in the NCCAA. I want to thank Coach Mack for joining me on this episode of the King Chasing Podcast. I want to thank you for tuning in. Now sit back, relax, and welcome to the King Chasing Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the newest episode of the King Chasing Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Martin. I am joined today by head men's basketball coach for Lancaster Bible College, John Mack. Coach Mack, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. And like I said before the call started, kind of slowed down a little bit, but it was a busy season, exciting season for y'all. And thanks for making some time to join me on the podcast today.
Oh, well, thank you for having us. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And so we'll just dive straight into it. So just kind of want to know kind of your background growing up. You know, how did you come to know the Lord and kind of get involved in the game of basketball from a young age?
Sure. Well, first coming to know the Lord, I accepted the Lord at actually a play called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames when I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. And I saw the play, and they showed the side of, when you don't accept Christ, where you would go. And I ran to the altar out of fear, because I identified with some of the characters that were in there, and I saw my life going in that direction. And so I accepted Christ pretty much out of fear of not wanting to go to hell. And over time, as I grew and learned my relationship with the Lord, pretty much during college is where I really began to own it. And now I follow Christ because of who he is, not the fear of death, but just the gratitude of him exchanging his life for mine. And growing up in basketball, I didn't start playing basketball until maybe my freshman or sophomore year in high school. Oh, wow. As far as organized. I lived in Trenton, New Jersey, and so all we did was play basketball. Hmm. So my experience was more, I learned through the courts, outdoor courts, and just playing. My mom didn't necessarily was able to afford for me to play in leagues or travel teams. So every day I was outside playing basketball at every different park, learning the game that way. So I didn't have to pay the AAU mortgage to learn how to play basketball.
There you go. And, you know, that turned into, you know, getting to Valley Forge, and University of Valley Forge at the time was a member of the NCCAA Division II. How did that kind of come about? Well, again, you started playing kind of late, organized the ball late, but getting to have a chance to play in college for an NCCAA school.
Yeah, well, that's pretty interesting, too. I went to high school at Lenape High School, played 2.5 years, or actually 3 years of varsity. That kind of was a crossover my sophomore year of JV and varsity. So that's my first time really getting coached with the game. Always had a passion for it and always understood roles as well. And so we had a team that was pretty much like 6'2" and under. Hmm. And I always mimicked my game after Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley was my favorite player growing up. That's how I got in love with basketball. And so I tried to be like Charles Barkley, but I didn't have Charles Barkley's size. So when I got to high school, I was playing back to the basket against 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", guys. So I didn't have a perimeter game. And so my coach made me play center because I kind of locked myself into that. And so that was a learning experience for me. But my high school coach demanded me to run the floor. He demanded me to box out and rebound. And he didn't accept any excuses. And because he pushed me, it actually prepared me for college. And so in high school, I was more of an undersized forward, didn't get a lot of recognition. I might have averaged maybe 6 points and six rebounds a game. So my only options coming out were Eastern University, Valley Forge, and I was going to go to Indiana University of Pennsylvania and try to walk on, but more because of education. I wanted to be a teacher at the time. So I ended up going to Valley Forge. And the reason why I went to Valley Forge was because of a girl. I was at high school, sweetheart that was at a rival school in our district. And I met her at our youth group. And so she was going to Valley Forge. I didn't even know of Valley Forge. I didn't know of the NCCA at all at that time either. And so I ended up following her and ended up going to Valley Forge. And that's how my basketball career started on a college level at Valley Forge.
Awesome. And so, you get to Valley Forge and you're able to play in the NCCA D2 national tournament a couple of times. But just what are some of your favorite memories from your playing career during your time at Valley Forge?
Oh, man, the network of the NCCAA. I didn't know about the NCCAA prior to going to Valley Forge. And when I went to Valley Forge, I ended up having a great individual career. And a lot of it is due to my time at Lenape High School in New Jersey. And just my coach demanded a lot in installing a work ethic. And so I was able to carry that over to Valley Forge. And my game just transformed. And I became a really good individual player at Valley Forge. And so I had a chance. Our coach, we traveled a lot. You know, we had this thing called the Assemblies of God tournament that we ran every year between, at the time, it was North Central University, Southeastern out in Lakeland, Florida, and then Old Central Bible College. And so we had a chance to play a lot of those schools, and our coach would take us to a lot of NCCA preseason tournaments too. And so I really got a chance to get to know a lot of players, competitors, and also coaches. One of the cool things that I experienced during my time at Valley Forge, which is a testament to NCCA, is we got connected with a group, a sports ministry group called Sports Ambassadors. And sports ambassadors would take student athletes to mission basketball trips over the summer. And I got a chance to really meet some cool NCCA student athletes and develop some unique relationships with them. But also we had to raise our support. And I had the opportunity to, I never knew how to raise money, but they gave us kind of a blueprint of what you should do and kind of list all the people that you encounter that would support something like this. And a lot of my support letters went out to NCCA coaches that I had played throughout the course of the year. And when I started to see the donor list come in and I saw some of those coaches from those different institutions, that was pretty impressive to me. That really stood out to me about the NCCA and the coaches that are involved. That it wasn't just about the competition, but it really was about the ministry. And so that really impacted me in my first impression of the NCCA.
And you talk about, you know, those mission trips and growing your faith, as you mentioned earlier. How exactly did that faith kind of grow during your time at Valley Forge, not just with mission trips, but kind of just hanging around, like you said, different coaches that were Christ-like pouring into you and different competitors that probably did the same thing as well?
Yeah, I think I realized in college that I didn't have a strong relationship with the Lord. I made that decision out of fear, as I mentioned in my early childhood, but going to a Christian college and even being around Christian athletes, and I noticed I was way behind. And so, and not to the behind of where, as far as the knowledge, but just what a relationship looks like with Jesus Christ. And I didn't have that because I wasn't connected on a daily basis. I wasn't thinking of how I can grow spiritually. I wasn't thinking of how the talent that God has given me is actually a spiritual gift that that should be glorifying to Him and not to myself. And so I learned that through the platform of athletics and then also at my time at Valley Forge. And so it really started to draw me closer to the Lord and spend more time with Him.
It's awesome. So during time at Valley Forge, and I did not know this about you. You said I did my research and found this out. You played soccer as well at
Yes.
Valley Forge at the All Region honor as well. How did that come about? And also, how did you kind of balance playing two different sports while also being a student in the student athlete part during your time?
Yeah. Well, soccer came, my mom, at that time, she was a single parent and, she wanted to get me out of the city, doing something else. But more of it was 'cause I was getting in trouble at my school when I was young. I was always in trouble and I got spankings left and right, from a belt, to a stick, all of it. I was in trouble, you know? And so I remember my cousin, Joe, he's an older guy, came to my mom and said, "Hey, you need to get him in sports. This could provide some more discipline and so forth." And so my mom found a way to get me in, and actually he paid for it. He paid for it, and the first sport was soccer. And I thought soccer at the time when I showed up for practice was kickball, and that's what we played streets at Trenton. And so when I first got there, I was really upset that soccer wasn't kickball, you know, and it had a lot of running, and I didn't like that. But eventually I started loving it. And so I started playing that at an early age, all the way up into high school as well. And so I loved and enjoyed it. I played it more probably than basketball, as far as an organization based. But then I would bring it to the home to the city, and we used to play soccer as well. I used to get my neighborhood out there. So my first passion was soccer. And so I kind of left dropped it when I got to college and focused in on basketball. And then I believe I ended up playing my sophomore and senior year just because of the love of it. I missed it. And we had some cool coaches as well. And so I decided to use that, especially as another conditioner as well. But it kind of brought back that childhood memory in college, and I wanted to play. But that was a cool opportunity for me to play. And I love the sport. And so I knew it was going to be my last time ever playing soccer again. So I took advantage of it when I was in college.
That's awesome. That's so
And then
cool.
just kind of just to answer the two sport, yeah, that was a challenge. But for me, sports was a great motivator for me academically. It helped me stay balanced, get my assignments in, because I knew if I didn't do that, it would impact my playing time and being eligible on a court and in field. So actually, it helped me be accountable on both fronts, on the field and on the court, and also in the classroom as well.
Awesome. And so, like I said, after your athletic career wrapped up at Valley Forge, you ended up staying there as the head coach and the AD for 17 years and several different championship appearances for Valley Forge when they were NCAA members. But what all did you not learn just as a coach, but also as an AD about the behind the scenes aspects and also how to continue to develop student athletes at a Christian institution?
Yeah, from being on the other side, I'll speak for the administration part and then the coaching. But the administration side, man, I realize there's a lot that goes on to get two teams in between the lines. There's a lot that goes on. And it's not just the day before, but it's actually a year in advance of the planning and preparation, the staffing. That's another aspect I really learned of not just staffing, but doing it well with excellence. And so, and also the financial part of what goes into it. And so I really appreciate, like, a lot of people walk into a game and they hear that whistle and you start, but there's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes to actually for that to get executed. Then also just the post wrap up too, just to clean up. It just takes a lot. It's not as easy as it may look, even as a player. And I look back and I appreciate all the people that I probably took for granted. That prepared us and allowed us to actually have sports on our campus and also take care of us as far as recovery and rehab and so forth, and our athletic trainers as well with that. As a coach, Man, I became a coach right after playing. And so, and that's very, very rare and usually does not happen. But I think it was 2000. I just got finished completing my senior season, was 99 2000. And I went on another mission trip with Sports Ambassadors, and it was a late one in the summer. And I knew our AD and my basketball coach at the time had resigned, and they were looking for a new coach. And back then, it was always with small college, it was AD and basketball coach. That was usually the combo that took place. But this particular person that got hired, he didn't have any basketball coaching background, but it was part of his contract. And so when I got back from my mission trip, I just happened to ask, "Hey, can I coach with provision? Which, I'm sorry, with supervision?" And they allowed it because of my impact there as a student athlete there, and I built up some rapport with our president and administration of serving in different areas on campus. And so they gave me a chance with, and that's how I got my foot in the door of being a head coach. And man, that was a learning experience, especially the first year when I'm coaching guys that I just play with. And I learned a lot about leadership as well in that phase, is that what the current AD at that time and then the president did was just give me an invitation to leadership, to the leadership table. There's so much that goes behind just being a leader. And I was coaching for a long time with the title. I wasn't coaching with an ask with a mindset of reproducing leaders, and developing them. And so I was still developing myself as a leader. And it took me a while, probably my first 6 to 7 years, to really learn leadership, to learn what it means to have a Christ-centered culture, to understand what a platform is, to understand what a mission is, because those are two different things. And I struggled to have a mission for why a coach, why that program existed at Valley Forge under my leadership. And the Lord took me through quite a journey of the ups and downs, because I was pursuing victories and championships. I saw everyone on the outside winning, and I wanted to be a part of that. And I chased that, and that became the primary motivation in my heart of motivating our guys. I was at a Christian college. It wasn't a true heart of mine. It wasn't a true heart of worship of mine. And the Lord gripped my heart and started really working on my life with that, and understanding the platform that he had given me. And he took me on a journey, and I started to really just start to focus in on developing a true Christ-centered culture. And I remember in 2008, that's when things really started to move for me. And I've been able to carry that out throughout my journey since then.
Awesome. It's like I said, after all this time at Valley Forge, you go to Southwestern Christian University out in Oklahoma, and that's the first time you went to the Division One championship during your time. And so, what was your experience like transitioning from a school like an NCCA Division Two school, non-athletic scholarships, moving up to Division One, where there are some of those schools as well at the Division Three level in the NCAA, but also kind of a mixture of NAI, NCAA Division Two. Just kind of the transition of moving into that role and kind of having to step up, if you will, a little bit of the competition.
Definitely was an adjustment. Being at NCCA 2 non-scholarship level for 16 years, and then going to Southwestern, definitely was an adjustment. Just learning how to deal with scholarships and what a scholarship athlete looks like. And so looking at that, I mean, one of the benefits, I had a chance to work with size. I never had like 6'10", 6'8", 6'9". So that was a pretty cool to have. Also, in the recruiting process, being able to offer a scholarship, that's something that I wasn't able to do. But being able to do that there got you a foot in the door of recruiting. But the talent base was definitely different, definitely faster, bigger, stronger, especially at the NAIA level. Southwestern was NAIA Division One at the time, because NAIA was still at two divisions at that moment. And it was quite the competition, and I learned a lot. It stretched me out as a coach. But you have, man, you have borderline Division One players playing on a lot of these teams, guys who might have dropped down for whatever reason. But you had high level players that you were competing against. And we were in the Sooner Athletic Conference as well. And that was probably one of the hardest ones at the time. And so every night was like when you won a game, a conference game, you felt like you won a championship because it was a challenge. And I felt those 2 years really stretched me as a coach. It actually helped me kind of define the system of play that I desire to play. Can it work on that level as well? And so it really helped me and prepared me for even coming back to Division III or non-scholarship level. I took a lot of things from a lot of different coaches in that league, able to apply it in a way that fits OBC and our style of play today. But definitely a great learning experience for me, and I enjoyed it. And I actually miss it, to be honest with you. I love the competition and the ability to offer athletic scholarship as well. But yeah, definitely a learning experience that I'm forever grateful for.
Sure. And so, like you said, you head over to Lancaster Bible College 2019, and found this from your opening article, Professor. It says that you hope to establish a culture and mission at Lancaster Bible, have the team find its why. And you kind of mentioned how you had to do that in your own life with coaching earlier in this episode. How have you kind of done that with your team during your time at Lancaster Bible?
Yeah, I would say just developing our culture. When I came here, and I feel like I believe the Lord kind of pressed on my heart during that time at Valley Forge what my purpose is for coaching and discipling and discipline. That's where I've kind of seen where God's hand has been using me in the different places that I've been at. And part of that is that discipleship and discipline is developing a systematic culture. For us. And so one of those is just developing a mission statement that becomes our fixed target, no matter what happens, no matter what game, the magnitude of the game, the opponent, no matter what part of the year, our mission remains the same. And it's for us, it's to prepare for a journey of discipleship through basketball by pursuing excellence and skill, teamwork, Christian character, and servant leadership. And we look at those four mission essentials at the end as what Christ demonstrated when he was here on this earth. And he did it with excellence by glorifying his Father. And so we like to use those as our four prongs in our program, is that when people see us play, that they see a team using a platform and glorifying God. I mean, spreading the word through the talents and gifts that he's given us on that court, that they see Christ through those gifts that he's given us through the teamwork and how we operate, communicate, and function as a team, and through our Christian character, how we respond to adversity, and also how we are humble in victory as well, and then just servant leadership, being able to live last in moments, like even when things are not going well for us, and if we lose, that we lose graciously, that we know how to live last and really reflect Christ in no matter what we do, and also how we leave locker rooms and a bench, how we greet people, restaurants, hotel. Like we want to have a servant mindset in what we do. So that's our kind of our mission in our program. And we kind of have a thing where our vision is kind of what motivates us, what gets us going, but it's our mission that grounds us. So that's something as we drive in our program of those two things, just our mission and our vision being something that is big. It's a huge part of our program, but our mission grounds us in what we do.
That's awesome. And so you mentioned the adversity and how you respond to that. This season, Lancaster Bible won their first ever NCAA D1 men's basketball national championship. But at one point in the year, it looked like you would not be at our tournament. You'd be at the NCAA tournament, won the regular season United East, and then a semifinal loss in that conference tournament, not selected the NCAA tournament as an at-large. Go to the Mideast Regional Championship, fall to Ohio Christian in that championship game, end up coming as an at-large and make a run where you have to beat Clinton College on a last-second shot, defeat the defending champions Nelson American Indian College, and then defeat the reigning runner-ups Columbia International in, let's call it, a slugfest of a championship game, end up winning that tournament. How did the team respond to, after two tough postseason losses, getting in as an at-large and kind of selling in and going on just an incredible run to a national championship?
Yeah, well, I would say, I'll kind of open it up with like Isaiah 55:8. It tells us like our thoughts are nothing like God's thoughts, you know, and our ways are beyond anything you can imagine. And that's kind of when I look back at this journey of the championship, it's that verse is so true and evident with us. As I mentioned before, we have our mission and our vision. Part of our vision is being able to win our United East Conference Tournament Championship and get to the NCAA tournament and get to Sweet 16. Right? We feel like that's where we've been chasing, and that's we feel like our program is making that next step to getting there. Is it a big size vision? Absolutely, but it's something that we've kind of focused in on that. And in this past year, we kind of set our schedule up to really test this group. We've been together for about 3 years. And just wanted to see where we're at as we're trying to pursue this vision. And so we end up jumping out to a really good start this year, had some good non-conference wins, and we were really moving in the right direction. Even hit some adversity with some injuries, season-ending injuries, but our team was still moving along and trying to figure it out. And got to the conference and was doing well and dropped a couple games, two games, and then bounced back and had the final week of winning the conference in a three-way tie that took place, and we had to win some games on the road, and we ended up doing that. And so our walking out of here, we're a number one seed, and obviously our eyes are focused on winning this conference, and then hopefully against the NCAA tournament. And we end up tripping up in our semifinal game, didn't play well, probably one of our worst games that we've played, and it was very heartbreaking and disappointing. Remember after the locker room, just in shock, you know, just devastated of how we lost, especially as a team that we just beaten by 22 a week late week before. So just a lot of thoughts. And our team, we took off for about 48 hours, and then we came back and just kind of talked about our meeting was kind of broken down in the past, present, and future of our season. And we kind of talked about the past, which was we had to relive how we lost that game. Because we had to move on. And we told them, here's the present. We have the NCCA tournament that we qualify for. We built some equity in the NCCA that allowed us to qualify even for our region and then potentially an at-large bid. So we kind of broke that down because we never really talked about that in the beginning of the year. Which never was the focus at the time. And then we talked about the future. And if we were able to accomplish that, making it to the national tournament, winning that, and potentially be one of few schools that won a Division One and a Division Two men's basketball championship, and then we gave them off the next 2 days just for them to kind of soak in with that. But we also left them with a message, and that was that Isaiah 55:8, that we don't know what the Lord is doing right now. Maybe this is the path that God wanted us on. We had our ways and our goals, and but God has something different, and we don't know how He wants to use us, and so we have to get over this and get our eyes open and see how God wants to use us. And sure enough, our guys responded. It was probably some of our best practices leading up to the regional tournament. And regional tournament happened, and we got smacked at Ohio Christian and had us wondering, do we even accept an at-large bid? And that was a real conversation that was taking place amongst our team, our players. I even remember writing back and saying, if our AD says, hey, do you really think we can compete at this level? I wouldn't argue with them, and I probably would say, all right, we'll save some money then. But our AD was all for it, believed in us, didn't have to have a conversation like that at all. He supported us, wanted to find out what's our travel arrangements, you know? And so we got back here, had some good, really good practices again, not knowing even our opponent at the time, because we're still waiting for the tournament field to be announced. But we got the confirmation that we made the at-large. So we just came in and we worked. And then we went out there and we got the number three seed. And we knew those seeds are just based off power rating, not by how good teams are. And so I thought we had a decent draw. And so then we just focused one game at a time. And we had an opportunity. We went out there and played Clinton. And I think Clinton became kind of our championship game a little bit, just because there was a moment in that game where we kind of controlled. It was back and forth, but we were in the game, majority game. And then they went on a run. We were up by maybe four or five. And then they went on kind of like a 10-0 run, and they were up and with 4 minutes left to go. And we called a timeout. And there was no X's and O's strategy. It was just letting our guys know, here we are. It's the same place we were, position we were in against our conference opponent in the semifinals. And we didn't respond the appropriate way. And we kind of let the run go, and they ended up winning the game. And so I said, here we are. This is the reason why we got here, came here, to learn and grow and get these extra postseason games. And so either we're going to respond or we're going to go home. And our guys responded, and I felt that was the pivotal moment in the tournament for our team, because it's something that we've been struggling with. And then the next two games, I mean, they were tough as well. I mean, I was watching film on both those teams. I'm like, man, how are we going to win this game? But our guys responded, stuck to the game plan, and we ended up beating three really good basketball teams. And I thought that was huge for our program and just for the journey that we were on throughout the course of the year, especially 2 weeks prior to that, when we were really questioning, are we worthy enough to even be in the field?
It's awesome. So, like I said, got to go to the championship and have that amazing run. And like I said, first Division I championship for Lancaster Bible College in all of the NCCAA. I want to close with this. Like I said, I was doing some research. I've never been up to Lancaster Bible College, but was looking around, kind of some photos of the campus and at the facilities. And at the Horst Athletic Center, which is where your team plays basketball, there's a sign up that says this. I thought it was really a good, great statement. It says, pursue excellence in athletics and cultivate Christ-centered relationships that impact others. You kind of mentioned that, how your team does that when they are going out to the restaurants, hotels, and all of that. How do you and your student athletes try to kind of do that and instill that every single day?
Yeah, we look at both those things as not or, it's and. And we want to do those to the best of our ability. And be honest with, I think it's a hiring practice for our athletic department when we're doing coaching interviews, to our recruiting as well. Like, we want to compete at a high level. We want to give God our very best. And we want to not only just work hard, but we want to execute as well, because that's part of excellence. And God rewards that, reflects him. And so we want to do that. And then our cultivating Christ in a relationship is something that's developed every day within our program, with our coaches and our student athletes. I know specifically in our program, that's something that we do. We have every day, every moment that we have with each other, there's a Christ-centered focus. And whether that's in our devotions every day, whether it's our weekly team time that we have, whether it's in a practice or in a drill, when we're trying to motivate, but we come back from, but we bring it back to a biblical perspective, to help guys understand that we're playing for something greater than ourselves. And we're also playing for eternity. We're here to spread the gospel in what we do. And so we develop that on the inside, and we want to display that when we're out in the competition so people will see that. And so it's an and thing for us. And I think that's what God calls us to do anyway. And so it's just our way in athletics to fulfill the Great Commission.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Coach Mack, thank you so much again for joining me today. Congratulations on a national championship. And again, thanks for telling your story and being able to sit down and talk with us today on the King Chasing Podcast.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again to Coach John Mack for joining me today on the King Chasing Podcast. It was an awesome time discussing his playing career, how he's grown as both a Christian and a coach over the years, the network of coaches in the NCCAA, and how his own team overcame adversity this season to win the 2026 NCCAA Division I Men's Basketball National Championship. Thank you so much for tuning in. We promise it won't be a couple of months between episodes this time, but again, to listen to all episodes of the King Chasing Podcast, head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and of course, the NCCAA.org/podcast. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Richard Martin, and we'll see you next time on the King Chasing Podcast.